this, we would actually drive around the small town we lived in Canada, and we'd look at Christmas lights, and then we'd go back to the house, and Kimberly would make this spread of food, and we would always open up just one gift. So we'd tantalize the kids with one gift, and then we'd hang out and just have fun with them the rest of the night, play games and stuff like that. So I really like tradition. I really like coming to church on Christmas Eve. It's a little weird this year, every 7 years, that we're not going to be in church tomorrow. So come on, how many know you got a Sunday off? Some of y'all are going, praise the Lord. Come on, everybody now. Come on, I've been watching you. I've been watching you. But we're here tonight, so man, you guys look amazing. I want to just kind of give you a little heads up before you go tonight. There's going to be some coffee and hot chocolate out there. There's going to be some cookies out there. There's some photo ops with the shop over there on the right hand side. I think Olaf and the elf are going to be walking around here. So grab a picture with those guys and have some fun and post it on social media at Spectrum Church, hashtag Spectrum Church .sd. I want to just show you some images that'll be kind of flipping behind me as I get ready to kind of just give you about 20 minutes of some thoughts to think about tonight before we let you go home. When I really think about Christmas, one of the first things I really think about is light. I like light. I don't have a lot in my house. I like, as far as when you go up to certain houses and you see the lighting elements they put that make their house shine. It pops on trees, it pops on their stucco or whatever kind of siding that they have. Of course, at Christmas, it's a whole different thing that we see all these different lights on buildings. We see lights that people actually do. Maybe you're one of those persons that you started hanging your Christmas lights on Halloween. Anybody like that? You started hanging them up there? Or maybe are you the person that keeps them all year long? Come on. This is a safe zone here tonight, right? You just don't plug them in? Well, that's okay. But one thing, you know, like in our community, we've got our neighborhood Christmas circle over here on the west side, and people drive around there for 3 or 4 weeks and look at all the lights that people put on their houses, because something about light, you know, it doesn't make a difference what the house looks like really in the day. Can I say it this way? When you put Christmas lights on and you decorate the trees and all that, it just makes the house look beautiful. And so, really, I just want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight, maybe 12, 13, 14 minutes, maybe 15, 16. But I want to talk to you really just about four elements, and we'll go quick, but they all have something to do with light that I really want to drive home to you tonight. I want to talk about God for a minute. I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about you, and I want to talk about us. God, Jesus, you, and us. So as we kind of break it down, again, it won't be long, but just think with me, and there'll be some scriptures back here on the board here, back here behind me. When we read the book of Genesis, it's an amazing scripture. I don't know if you brought it out or you ever read it before like this, so let me just kind of break this down to you. The very first book of the Bible, it says this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Verse 4, God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was the evening. Notice this now. And there was the morning. Look at this. The first day. The first day. Don't miss it. The first day. Then in the same chapter, Genesis 1, 16 through 19, here's what it says. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars, and God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. Verse 18, to govern the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning. Notice, the fourth day. On the first day, it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. But on the fourth day, the Bible says that God made something different. He made the sun to govern the day, and he made the moon to govern the night, the fourth day. Light on the first day, but there was light on the fourth day. And a lot of people have talked about that this is the same thing. The light on the first day was synonymous with the light on the fourth day. But me, I maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. This isn't going to make a difference if anybody goes to heaven or hell. Just something to consider tonight on Christmas Eve. That I believe when God said on day one in Genesis 1, we just read verse 3 through 5, let there be light. Here's what I believe happened. I've got it on the screen for you. That light is the revelation of the knowledge, the goodness, the power, the love, the forgiveness, and the righteousness of God into the physical world. That when God said, let there be light, what God was saying is every man, every woman, every child, every person will have an opportunity to know me. Every color of your skin, no matter where you live, no matter what you've seen, no matter the chaos, no matter the darkness around the world, when God said, let there be light, there came the obvious heart throb and longing to know God. I believe, you know, scientists talk about, and maybe you're one of these that look toward it this way, they talk about the Big Bang. I believe when God said in Genesis 1, we read it, let there be light, that was the Big Bang. His voice, and all of a sudden, they tell us now that light's traveling over 186,000 miles per second still, and we've got the Hubble telescope, and we've got explorations going on, and we're seeing new galaxies, new bursts of light going on in our galaxy, because God said, let there be light. You can have a knowledge of God. You can know God. The Bible speaks of revelation. The Bible speaks of light meaning understanding. The Bible speaks of light meaning seeing and vision, that we can actually see God. So this Christmas, my prayer for you is that, number one, it wouldn't just be about a tree. It wouldn't be about natural light, but there would be something in your heart that says, why am I here? What does God want to do in my life? Do I even believe there's a God? I believe this Christmas season, the God who said in Genesis 1, let there be light, is speaking to your heart tonight, drawing you to Him so you can know Him personally. Light means you have the ability to see and know God intimately. What an amazing thing. We're finishing a series tonight called I Choose. We've talked about it for the last 3 weeks. We talked about I Choose Love and I Choose Light tonight. We talked about I Choose Learning. So tonight, again, I want to make a decision in my life, and I hope you make it too, that I'm choosing light means I choose God. I'm choosing light. I'm choosing His way. I'm choosing His purpose. And it means that I'm choosing to know God. To know God. The second thing I told you we're going to talk about just for a minute is Jesus. Brittany read part of a scripture over in Matthew chapter 2. I want to read a little bit more of it, if you will. It's kind of lengthy, about 10 verses. It'll be familiar to some of you. It's called the Christmas story. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star, it rose, and we've come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Verse 7 says, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found them out from the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you have found him, report back to me that I may go and worship him too. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star which they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. These studied, learned magi were astrologers. They were stargazers, and God used a star that they actually followed for over 2 years, and the Bible says it actually went before them. That's key. It went before them. The thing that I can't get over is that what caused these guys to see a star? It wasn't a normal star. It wasn't a North Star. It wasn't a constellation. It was a supernatural sign of God Almighty to lead these men to exactly where Jesus and Mary and Joseph were in this house. The light, I can't get over it. Hope you get it tonight. The light guided them to a person. The light guided them to a person. The Holy Spirit, His job now in the earth is to always guide you and direct you to the person, God Almighty. He'll always lead you. He always wants you to draw near to Him. He always wants to speak to you. He always wants you to show you and tell you things to come, like the Gospel of John says. So listen, if you're struggling with direction, with fear, with sin, with identity, with acceptance, God's light, which means His presence, is leading you to a place of healing, to a place of answers, and to a place of wholeness. God is not a God of confusion. God is not a God of darkness. God's not a God of struggle. God's not a God of disappointment. God's a God that is good. Because it says, this is crazy, verse 10, notice again what it says. It says, when they saw the light, they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed. They saw that light. They saw that star. They were overjoyed. It started moving. When they would move, wherever it went, they followed it for 2 years, guys. And when it stopped over this house where Jesus was. And they were ecstatic that it's like their journey was over. They were leaving darkness. They were leaving the struggle. They were leaving people trying to kill them. They were going through alien territory, leaving their families. These guys traveled, didn't know where they were going, but the light led them to the right place at the right time. And God's hand will always lead you the very same way. The very same way. During Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus quoted a scripture, John quoted, that Jesus said. He said this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. What an amazing scripture. I am the light of the world. If you're needing direction, if you're needing illumination, if it looks like there's hopelessness and darkness and despair all around you, can I tell you? Let me tell you, Jesus wants to be your light. Jesus isn't going to criticize you. He's not going to condemn you. He's never going to shun you. He's never going to disgrace you. He's never going to demean you. Anybody who comes to Him that follows the light, that says, I want more, I want my life to count. I'm in a dead end. Maybe I've been divorced. I've had hurt in my life. I've had a bankruptcy. I've got some secret sin. I've got some addictions in my life. But you're telling me, Gary, that He'll still take me? Yeah. Yeah. Because that's exactly what He does. He takes us the way we are, and He brings us into the light, not to expose us, but to heal us. But to heal us. Man, I choose light means I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. It's really interesting when Jesus was born under the light of the star, and He became the light of the world. Amazing. Amazing. So I don't have to go to Hollywood and follow a Hollywood star. I don't have to follow a basketball star. I've got a star I can follow. His name is Jesus. How about you? This light, you know, God said, let there be light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But come on, let's talk about you. Now this is going to get kind of like PG-13 here for a second. So let me, this is amazing. This is dicey on Christmas Eve, but I'm going to go where no man's boldly gone before. Come on, Star Wars fans. I want to show you an image here. Look at this image, and I'm going to explain it. What you see down here on the bottom and what you see here at the time, 26 seconds, and you see here 40 seconds and a minute 30, what's going on here is that researchers at Northwestern University have captured a stunning explosion. Hang on to your hats now, that occurs when a sperm meets a human egg. So just bear with me. Bear with me. In your top left, that's the connection point of a sperm to an egg. This is what happens on your far right. This is what has happened. Conception's happening. This is what's happened as it's changing. It's changing. What they found, guys, by this, that shocked all scientists, this was in the 2016, this is earlier this year in April, is that they've now confirmed that human life begins in a bright flash of light. This is the first time sparks have been seen in a human egg, and the size of the spark is direct measure of the quality of the egg and its ability to develop into an embryo. Why is that important? Why is that important? Wow. Because I can see when God said, let there be light, And I can see when Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And God has put it in the human anatomy that when you were born, come on somebody, you started exploding into this earth with light. With light. With light. In 1 Thessalonians 5:5, the writer says this, you're all sons of light and sons of day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. What's that mean? That you and I were born into the light and we've been called to live in the light. So when I say you, when I say God, I say Jesus, and I talk about you, that I choose light means I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. I choose to do life with you. I don't choose to look at race. I don't choose to look at economics. I don't choose to do any of that because God said, Jesus said, He said this, that love your neighbor as yourself. Reach out as God's loved you. Now you love one another. So the light of God breaks down racism. It breaks down gender issues. It breaks down economic barriers. I choose light. How about you? Let's talk real quick, just two more minutes. Let's talk about us. And when I talk about us, God, Jesus, you, and then just us, really us, I'm talking about this thing called the church. That's just an amazing thing, the church. It's this thing that God called, God talked about. It's a supernatural entity. It's not a corporation. It's not a money-making thing. It's not something to do because you don't know what else to do. It's not a crutch. It's not just, well, kids are going to go to it, and when I get to be 15, I'll do my own thing. It's just, you know, it's kind of like Santa Claus. It's this thing trying to believe in. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I got kids in here. No, church is what God's plan and purpose is for every person's life. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says this in verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them light has shined. Prophetically speaking, this is speaking of them seeing Jesus. But again, prophetically, we could say it's about the world seeing you and me, us, the church, us. Notice again, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. It doesn't take much in our city. It doesn't take much to go outside of our city. It doesn't take much to leave maybe the neighborhood you're in to see darkness, to see fear, to see hopelessness, to see despair. I don't know if you've been following along the stuff. Hopefully you have, and hopefully it's driving you to pray. Just the stuff that's going on, like in Syria, in Aleppo, where, you know, tens of thousands of people have lost their lives. They're gone. It's gone. Their eternal destiny has already been, it's over. And what's happening there, what goes on, and even in Africa, consistently, whether it's starvation or whether it's Boko Haram and all the stuff that's going on there, whether it's gang-related stuff, you know, more killings this year in Chicago than ever before in the last two decades. And we see stuff consistently going on, but when I talk about us, I want to talk about, for just a second, what we're to do. That we're not just to be a cozy little group of people that is just concerned about our own interests. It's like the people today, we've got a great team in our church that has a heart to do, reach out to people that have been affected by maybe poverty and homelessness and preparing, you know, meals and gift bags and things like that they can actually go and physically and tangibly help in a very practical way. Us, we are called to make a difference in the darkness. That's what the scripture says. The people who walked in darkness, they saw something different. They saw a great light. How'd they see the great light? The great light's going to come through you and me. Right there in the workplace, right there with your friends and your families and your neighbors, you and I are to make an eternal difference. We are to affect everybody we come in contact with. Come on, you can say amen here on Christmas Eve. It's all right. Listen, the church is designed to be light. It's designed to be light. Light is designed to function in the darkness. That's its main calling. Light isn't designed to hang out in the light. Light's main design, when you go home tonight, you're going to be real glad when the house is dark, you're going to go in there, and you're going to be real glad you flip on the light. Light's designed to expel the darkness. Your call, my call, our call, us, what we're to do is to follow God His first command, and let there be light, and I'm going to know God, and I can know you, and I'm going to be passionate for you. And Jesus came and humbled Himself and was born in the manger. And he lived for about 33 years or so, and He prophesied, and He showed us as He was raised from the dead that He is the Son of God, and He is the light of the world. And so I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to emulate Him. He's my Master. He's my Lord. And now with you and what God's called you, and I see, my God, you came in light. You were born in light. So now how I function with you, how I love you, how I relate to you matters. And what we do with that is of eternal consequence in Chula Vista, National City, South San Diego, wherever you live. Come on, everybody. Let's be light. Come on, poke your neighbor and say, shine, baby. Come on, shine, baby. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Real quick, look on the screen. God created the light. God created it. What that tells me is that you can know God. You can know God. I wish God would talk to me. Listen to me. He gave you a book called the Bible. You can know Him that way. You can know God. Jesus lived it. Jesus lived the light. He lived it. He was and is the sinless Son of God. You can find freedom in Him. You can find freedom in Him. If you're battling things tonight, listen to me. You don't have to keep battling them. You can find freedom in Jesus Christ. You were born into it. Listen, the light, you were born into it. When you're, come on, when that connection happened between your parents, whether you knew them or not, listen, regardless how you got here, the Bible says God knew you were going to be born, who you were going to be born to, whether you know Him or not. God knows you, and He's got a great plan for your life. Such a great plan that when you came to the earth, come on, fireworks happened. Come on, somebody. You were born in the light. What that tells me is that you can discover your purpose. Why am I here? Why am I here? I had an identity crisis when I was about, 18, 19. I was in my first year of university, and I thought I wanted a good job. I wanted a solid job that would pay me well, and I would have an unending continuum of people that would need my services. And I decided I wanted to be a mortician. Come on, somebody. That's what I was going to do for about a month. I'm going to be a mortician. How many know that my mortician business would die? I'm a happy man. Come on, how many know you mortician's got to be a little bit, you know, more somber. So I found that just wasn't my thing. So I struggled. I was in real estate and business classes and marketing, and I wanted to manage apartment complexes and build commercial buildings, and I took all kind of real estate classes, but something crazy happened between my second and my third year of university in the summer of 1980, like a millennia ago. 20-year-old kid, I had an encounter with God one night. And this dope-smoking, drug-dealing, smoked-up, jacked-up redneck from Tennessee, God got a hold of me. And instantly, my addictions, and instantly, my longings, and instantly, my desires completely changed. And I started having, just crazy thoughts after several months about being a pastor, being a minister, serving God one day. Nobody in my family was a pastor. I didn't know anybody. I mean, I went to a church, but that wasn't like in my, upline. But I found this is what I was called to do. I was born, like you, in a flash of light, and God started directing me by His light to know my purpose. I don't care if you're 60 or if you're 16. God wants you to know His purpose. And He will put, can I say it this way, a holy dissatisfaction in your life until you find it. There'll be an itch in your life that you just can't keep scratching. It'll scratch, but it will come back. Let me challenge you. Whatever you got to do, get along with God. Let His light lead you to find your call and your purpose. And the last thing that we see here tonight is that we're called to demonstrate the light. We're called to demonstrate the light. In other words, that just simply means that you can make a difference. You can use what God's called you to do and demonstrate His light. You can show other people what it means with the gift and talent and ability that God's called you to do, what it means to live right before God, what it means to serve God. Doesn't mean anybody's perfect. It just means that you're using what God's given and gifted you. Listen to me. Don't stay in the darkness another day. God said, let there be light. That's a word for you. Jesus displayed the light, showing you. That's a word for you. You were born into light when you came in the world. That's a word for you. And God wants all of us to follow collectively and corporately the light so we make a difference everywhere we go. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on, thank God for the light. The wise men followed a star. And like you've heard it said all over social media, wise men still follow today. Still follow today. Come on, would you stand up tonight, everybody? Would you bow your head? Come on, the kids sang great. Alex and Christian made us all squirm in our chairs. We saw some corny videos, but it was kind of fun tonight. But listen to me, tonight right there, would you just give me 30 more seconds? Would you just bow your head? Would you close your eyes? Come on, would you just give everyone around you the right of privacy? It's just like right there in your chair, there's no one there but standing in that circle in front of your chair, but just you and God. Let me just ask you a question. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to humiliate you by any means. I'm not going to ask you to come up to the front. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to ask you tonight, do you know the person I'm talking about? Do you know Jesus? Now listen, right there, just let me break it down. Just 10, 12 seconds. To know means intimate. I know him. Not know about him. I know about Michael Jordan. I know about Tiger Woods. I know about the Chargers. God help us. But listen, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Personally. If you don't tonight, He is drawing you into a relationship with Him. I don't believe you came here by accident. I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe you came here tonight on assignment that God has led you. Maybe you were invited. Maybe you were drugged here by a friend or a family member. But you're here. So the question I beg you to answer is, do you know Him? Do you know Him personally? And if you don't, we're all going to pray this prayer. I'm asking you to just open up your heart. That means it's in the core of your being, the center of your being. You're saying this. And saying, I want to change in my life. I don't know exactly everything that means, but I want to change in my life. I want to follow the light. I want to know God. I want to know His purpose for my life. I want to make a difference. I want to be with people that are positive and are going to affect me so that I can get the darkness out of my life. Come on, if that's you, you prayed this prayer specifically. Maybe you prayed it before and you're here tonight and it's just kind of like a homecoming. You've been here before. You've been around church before. You were at another church, but it's like God's just not letting you go. He's got a lasso around you, and He's bringing you back. You sense it. Maybe some friends sense it. But tonight, you're just saying, I'm just ready to make a change. So come on, everybody in the room, let's pray this prayer out loud. And you that specifically need it, again, mean it with your heart. Say this with me, dear Heavenly Father, I'm coming to you right now in Jesus' name. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So I ask you to save me from my sin. Help me live the way you want me to live. So I change my mind and I change my direction. And I'm asking you to take control of my life in Jesus' name. Come on, can you say amen, everybody? Come on, give a hand, everybody. Come on, just praise God for a second. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm going to be hanging around up here after the service. Come talk to me. You know, we've got some free literature we'll give you. I won't embarrass you. Just want to put something in your hand. We want you to know what it means to be a Christian. It's 7:14. I'm actually 1 minute ahead of time. Amazing. How many of y'all believe in a Christmas miracle? Come on, that just happened right there. That just happened. Guys, it's been an amazing, amazing night. We've got a great photo booth out there. We've got coffee. We've got hot chocolate. We've got cookies for you outside. We're so glad that you came. Be safe going home. Merry Christmas. If you don't have a home church and you're just hanging out with some friends, we'd love to have you back, but just not tomorrow. We won't be here. January 1st, 10 o'clock, we'd love to see you. God bless you. From our family to yours, Merry Christmas.